scripture lesson this morning, I love this scripture passage. In the Common English Bible, which is the translation we're using this morning, this scripture passage is actually under the title Values and Priorities. And I couldn't think of a better piece of scripture for New Year's Day, when we spend so much time on New Year's Eve and New Year's Day thinking about what we might want to do different in the next year. So we pick up this scripture about halfway through, so it's probably important that we remember that Paul has been sharing about his transition from righteousness in the law to finding righteousness based in faith. And so we pick up in verse 12, where he writes, "It's not that I have already reached this goal or have already been perfected, but I pursue it so that I may grab hold of it, because Christ grabbed hold of me for just this purpose. Brothers and sisters, I myself don't think I've reached it, but I do this one thing. I forget about the things behind me and reach out for the things ahead of me. The goal I pursue is the prize of God's upward call in Christ Jesus. So all of us who are spiritually mature should think this way. And if anyone thinks differently, God will reveal it to him or her. Only let's live in a way that is consistent with whatever level we have reached. Brothers and sisters, become imitators of me and watch those who live this way. You can use us as models. As I have told you many times, and now say with deep sadness, many people live as enemies of the cross. Their lives end with destruction. Their God is their stomach. And they take pride in their disgrace because their thoughts focus on earthly things. Our citizenship is in heaven. We look forward to a Savior that comes from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will transform our humble bodies so that they are like his glorious body, by the power that also makes him able to subject all things to himself." So, in your life, how many of you have ever made a New Year's resolution? How many of you have made a New Year's resolution that has actually made a difference in your life? Okay, a few. Well, I'll share with you that 17 years ago, my husband and I made a New Year's resolution to become weekly church attenders. That we would no longer be the people who woke up on Sunday morning and then decided whether or not we would come to worship. That it would just be a given. And I can tell you that it really has made a difference. It caused us to become more involved in the life of the church. It caused us to get to know people, to feel like part of the family, and ultimately caused us to grow deeper and deeper in our faith. So if that's where you are this morning, there are two things that I want you to hear very clearly. That decision made a difference in our family and in our marriage. Our children don't wake up and wonder if we're going to church. It's all they've ever known. The other thing I want you to hear very clearly is not everybody who makes that decision ends up in a pulpit. So you don't need to be frightened. I was looking this week at what some of the common resolutions are, and I read all kinds of lists, and they really all sort of fall into these categories. There's physical health, spiritual health, financial health, relationship health, and another category I would call quality of life, the people who want to read more, travel more. My favorite, though, came from a Nielsen poll where 16% of the people they polled had made a resolution not to make any more resolutions. But of those categories, I'm pretty certain that I have made a resolution at one time or another in every one. And as I read through the list and list and list of the different resolutions that people make, it occurred to me that so many of them, they're really all about taking care of ourselves, which made me wonder, why is it so hard for us to just take care of ourselves? You know, I love in our scripture this morning the passage that says, only let's live in a way that is consistent with whatever level we have reached. I think it's refreshing to serve a God who accepts that we are a work in progress and yet is always calling us to that next level, to go a little deeper. Kind of reminds me of Pastor Jared's tagline of, God loves you just the way you are and way too much to let you stay there. And so Pastor Jared and Pastor Kevin and I have actually been working on a sermon series that we're really excited about, and it starts next week, and it's called Way Too Much. And it's based on this idea that God loves you way too much to let you stay where you are. And so we're going to be talking about those places that God might be calling you to look at in 2017. We'll be talking about spiritual health and physical health and financial health and relationship health. And we know that this kind of reflection is very personal because it almost always involves those areas that we're not quite satisfied with. And even though we all have them, they may not be the places we want to share with the person sitting next to us. So I have good news for you, because for the next 6 weeks, you get to sit in this room with a room full of people who are working toward the next level in some area of their life. So if you haven't reached a place of perfection in every area of your life, you will be in good company. We're a constant work in progress. And wherever your work is for this year, that's between you and God. I also thought a lot this week about the ways in which things get in our way of going to that next level. There are people who carry around so much old hurt that it prevents them from new healthy relationships. There are people who have been wounded by the church or the church people. And when they think about going into a deeper relationship with Christ, it's just pretty scary. Or is it possible that there are people here this morning that have just not grasped the enormous love that God has for you? And maybe that keeps you from taking care of yourself. Made me think of this Charlie Brown strip I saw years ago. You may have seen it too, where Charlie and Lucy are on the baseball field, and Lucy had just dropped an easy pop fly. And she says, Charlie Brown, I'm so sorry I dropped that. I was going to catch it, and then I remembered all the balls I dropped before. And well, the past got in my eyes. So before we can start a sermon series, Way Too Much, taking us into those deeper levels where God might be calling you this year, it seemed to me that we first need to get those barriers out of the way, that we need to maybe get the past out of our eyes. So this morning, I will ask you to be in a spirit of reflection throughout the service. And if there are barriers in your life, I'm going to ask you to write them on this piece of paper. Nobody will see it but you. But be thinking about those things that get in your way. Whenever we read one of Paul's letters, I think it's important that we remember who Paul was. His own resume, in his own words, or at least in the words that we've translated, he says, "I was circumcised on the eighth day. I am from the people of Israel and the tribe of Benjamin. I am a Hebrew of the Hebrews. With respect to observing the law, I'm a Pharisee. With respect to devotion to the faith, I harass the church. With respect to righteousness under the law, I'm blameless. In other words, if righteousness could be achieved by works, Paul was pretty set. But then he has this encounter with Christ. And this was no small encounter, but the encounter itself is a whole nother message. But he has this life-changing encounter with Christ on the road to Damascus. And he's converted. And now he's a Jesus follower. Now, on his resume, when he says, "I harass to the church," that's pretty clean language. He had Jesus followers executed. In fact, he was on the road to Damascus to go to the synagogues there to recruit people to help him arrest the Jewish Christ followers. Imagine what it would feel like to be a converted Paul, knowing that you were responsible for the deaths of people who would now be your brothers and sisters in faith. When Paul talks about putting things behind him, he doesn't say that lightly. You know, his conversion cost him a very elite status in the Hebrew community, and likely deep sadness and guilt for the ways in which he had persecuted the church. He knows he is not perfect, but he pursues it, and he says, "So that I may grab hold of it, because Christ grabbed hold of me for just this purpose." So what if Paul had let the past get in his eyes? There are scholars who believe that next to the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, that Paul's conversion is the most important event in human history. Without Paul, we would be missing 13 of the 27 books in the New Testament. We'd be missing half of the New Testament. The major early expansion to the Gentiles, which is probably us, wouldn't have happened. Scholars believe that without Paul, Christianity would really only be of historical interest. Thank God the past didn't get in Paul's eyes. So it makes me wonder, where is Christ grabbing hold of you this morning? And are there things getting in your way? Is there some piece of past that gets in your eyes when you strive forward? So in New York City a few days ago, they celebrated Good Riddance Day. And Good Riddance Day is inspired by a Latin American tradition where people would stick objects that represent bad memories inside dolls and set them on fire. Now, they don't allow the fire at Times Square, but they do bring in sledgehammers, and they bring in big shredded trucks. And people bring their symbols of their bad memories of the year And either they destroy them with a sledgehammer, or they put them in the shredded truck and watch them become nothing. So before we can begin our Way Too Much series, seems to me we need our own Good Riddance Day. So whatever past is in your eyes, whatever barrier might keep you from being the person God is calling you to be in 2017, it's time to say good riddance. There are no wrong answers. This is between you and God. Whatever has come to mind for you this morning, write it down on this sheet of paper. Because today and together, we're going to let those go. In a few moments, some music is going to start playing. It's a beautiful song by David Crowder. And we're going to fire up the shredders. And whenever you are ready, as the music plays, bring those papers forward, put them in the shredder, and watch them become nothing. Now, I can't think of a better way to begin a new year than getting the past out of our eyes and then sharing in communion. When the music stops, Pastor Jared is going to lead us into communion. We're doing that a little differently this morning. We're going to share in communion by intinction, which is a fancy word that we learned in seminary. But it means you're going to pick up the bread and dip it in the cup. So Pastor Jared and I are actually serving communion this morning. I do want to remind you that in the United Methodist tradition, we celebrate an open table, so you do not need to be a member of this church or any other church to share in communion here. But today, I hope that we can get the past out of our eyes and open ourselves to where God is leading us. I hope that for you and for me and for this church.